Widow Drummer Boy, classic song for all of us, I believe. And I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you, Mark and Jen. That was beautiful. Again, thank you for being here tonight. And I hope that you're settled in and those songs blessed your heart. There's some great songs in there as well. So just as we go through the message, I just want you to listen up to a quick story here. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one knows quite the reason. It could be that his head wasn't screwed on right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that most likely the reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. The Grinch who stole Christmas. It's a popular story. It tells the story of a hateful, bitter Grinch. And perhaps you know the story. And he didn't like Christmas at all. He lived in a cave on Mount Crumpet, just above a town called Whoville. That's right. Well, nobody knows why the Grinch detested Christmas so much. The narrator in the post doesn't really actually tell us. But it does say that his heart, perhaps, was two sizes too small. Now, by contrast, the Whos of Whoville, they loved Christmas. They absolutely loved it. They enjoyed it. They partied. They gathered. It was a festive time for them. And there's a huge celebration in the town for them as well. And as the Grinch became more and more annoyed as to the noise, he came up with a plan. And that plan simply was to do what? To steal Christmas. So he dresses up as Santa Claus and sneaks up into the homes of the Whos and starts taking their presents, their food, even their Christmas trees. And in the middle of the scheme, in the middle of his plan, he meets this little girl. And her name is Cindy Lou Who. Now, she showed the Grinch some compassion and some kindness. Now, as the Grinch attempts to dump all of his stolen goods on the top of Mount Crumpet, he hears the town singing. And they're singing loudly. And it touches his heart. And shocked by their joy, despite by not having any gifts, the Grinch realizes that Christmas is not about material possessions, but about community, kindness, and love. And his heart immediately grew three sizes, and he returns to Whoville to deliver all the presents he had stolen. As a matter of fact, at the end of the story, it's the Grinch who himself carves the big roast beef at the Whoville feast. Now, I share that story because perhaps you've read that story, you've seen the movie, there's been different adaptions of it, and the Grinch who stole Christmas and tried to take the joy of the season away. Now, as I mentioned, what he liked about Christmas, he saw the community celebrating in kindness and in love, and in community again as mentioned. But I would add something in there for us, who are Christ followers, to celebrate the birth of Christ. And as we think about being a Grinch, and that was the title of my talk tonight, are you a Grinch? Meaning this, the Grinch himself was distracted and stole things and was taken over by a lot of bitterness in his heart and got kind of lost into the season and focused on things that perhaps weren't that important. And maybe for us tonight, as we've come to Christmas Eve service, and you're considering where you stand with the birth of Christ, a reminder for all of us to ask that simple question, are we a Grinch? Do we have Grinch-like tendencies in our own spirit? Do we look at Christmas in a way that perhaps consumerism perhaps has taken place inside of Christ, that's taken over our life? We don't rush for rest, but we rest for busyness. We don't rest in the Savior's birth. We don't rest in who he is. Perhaps instead of just giving presents, which are good to give, many of you will open gifts perhaps tonight, tomorrow morning, or the next couple of days, and giving presents are a good thing. There's nothing wrong with those. Keep those receipts as you give out gifts, a reminder, of course. But what's more important is not presents, but our presence with each other, our presence with Jesus, and what that means for us as we come tonight to reflect on Christmas Eve. See, the Grinch himself, I believe, is anti-Christian or anti-anything like that, but I think he's just apathetic towards what's going on. with all the joy he would hear in the town of Whoville. And obviously the folks at Whoville weren't necessarily focused on Christ's birth. But for us, as we come tonight, that's the story we want to focus on, is Christ's birth. And I mentioned this morning as well in our first service about how do we enter the season? Are we entering the season with apathy, with joy, with hope, with the promise of our Savior? And for those who've come here tonight and watching online, perhaps you don't know the promise of the Savior and the born baby in Christ. And you've come here perhaps tonight, and maybe there's things for all of us, even for Christ followers, that have distracted us from the real reason for the season. It might be family dynamics you're concerned about as you spend time with family, both tonight and tomorrow over the next few days, going into a situation where you're feeling anxious and overwhelmed by what's to come. Perhaps you're worried about other things in your life that are going on. And that's the beautiful picture of Christ. We can come to his presence with everything that we have, everything that we're dealing with, everything we're going through, because the birth of the Savior matters. The birth of Jesus matters. And the Bible tells us this in Luke 2, verses 8 to 14, and this is what it says. And before I read this, I want you to picture this event, this moment, and perhaps just being a fly on the wall, watching this whole event unfold before you. What would you feel? What would you be thinking? What would your heart be saying as well? So the verses are on the screen, but I'll read this for us. Luke 2, 8 to 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." What a powerful time in history to be there as a shepherd, to see what is going on. And it's beautiful here because it says here, and the angel said to them, "Fear not." You know, imagine picturing this event, and what would you be feeling in that moment? Perhaps fear, but fear not. It's a reminder for us not to be afraid. To not to be afraid in the life that we live in today, to not be afraid, and that we don't allow perhaps the Grinch in our lives, the Grinches in our circumstances, to steal the joy of the season. And again, Scripture tells us clearly, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be what? For all people." For all people. What a promise of hope for every single one of us. And we find this baby lying in a manger. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? And it's kind of, when you think about the birth of Christ and how he came and how his life ended on the cross and everything in between there, and when you think of a king, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, born in such humble circumstances, and yet when he lived on earth, he still remained humble. And he came as what? Scripture tells us that he came as a servant to serve others. And as we come here tonight, and I mentioned a few things that perhaps can distract us from the season, that can cause us to become maybe have a Grinch-like attitude in our own spirit, and perhaps we don't even know it. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe ask a friend or a family member, "Do I have Grinch-like attitudes or qualities?" That's a good conversation to have. And if you're a Christ follower, it's an important time for us to recognize and reflect that the story here in Scripture in Luke 2 is a promise of what? Of hope. Of a deep, residing hope in our spirit. Do you know that hope today? I hope you do. I really hope you do. And as we think about this today, as we've been singing songs and we've been reflecting over the last several weeks as we've entered Advent, and you've come here tonight, this is great news. This is good news. It's the best news you will ever receive. And I pray and I hope that your heart of hearts, that apathy is not kicked in, that when we lit the light of the candle tonight, the center candle of Christ, that perhaps your heart leaped a little bit with joy to reflect that we are here praising Jesus. Now, it's a great reminder, I'll wrap this up quickly, great reminder for all of us tonight to recognize one thing, well, many things, but one thing in particular as well. Being able to come together like this to worship and to sing, it's an honor. It's an absolute honor, and it's a privilege for us to do so. You know, I was reading an article just this past week in other countries around the world where Christmas is banned. Is banned. And that's the Grinch-like attitude there. They can't do anything about it because it's banned. And they're trying hard, and there's circles of people that are trying, and yet they face so much persecution and perhaps death as well. And a reminder for us as well tonight as we reflect on the story of the birth of our Savior, if you're a Christ follower, reflect on that with depth and gratefulness and gratitude, because that's why Jesus came. And if you've come here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you perhaps know the story that he was born and he lived a life on earth, and then he went to the cross for our sins, for us as a substitute for our sins, and then 3 days later he rose from the dead. He looked at death and said, "Not on my watch." And he rolled out of that grave. And 40 days later he ascended to heaven, and he said he one day he'd be back. And he would take those folks back with him to glory, to heaven, that believe in him, that walk with him. I pray that you know him. And if you come here today and that's not your heart tonight, I encourage you to ask questions to someone. You can talk to me. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. Because I promise you this, and it's not my words, it's the Bible's words. Following Christ will be one of the hardest, but the greatest decision you'll ever make in your entire life. Amen? And if you're a Christ follower today, that should be the cry of your heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can worship you and gather. Thank you that we can reflect on the birth of Christ. And Lord, for those who've come today, I pray, Jesus, for all of us to recognize the joy that we can have in you, that we recognize that this time of season is so vitally important for all of us. And for those trying to understand again, Jesus, who you are, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them, that you'd walk with them. And for us who have been walking with you for many years, I pray, Jesus, that we would not become apathetic. We would not just look at this Christmas as another Christmas, but we would enter in fully with joy, and our cups would overflow with the hope that comes through the life you've given us. So, Lord, thank you for each person here. And as we reflect, as we sing a silent night, as we light our candles, that we would be able to, again, just come in the fullness of who we are, because we know you are full of grace, mercy, and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.